All right, it's September 3rd, 1988, and we have with us Dennis Holliday Dixon. You want to see
me? My name is Dennis Holliday Dixon. I'm a bit more of a rat.
And where were you born, Dennis?
I was born in California in 1950.
I'm sorry, where?
Susanville, California.
Susanville,
California.
And what day?
June 9th, 1950.
And what's your permanent address?
Reno, Nevada.
You want to
get it? Post office block 3581. Reno, Nevada. Reno, Nevada. Post box
8587. Reno, Nevada.
81. 8581.
8581. Yeah. Reno, Nevada. And, as you know, I just took your picture, mm-hmm. and I want to use your picture for this book that I'm doing called Paddock, with the title. I might be different, but that's what I was thinking now. And I'm doing 50 Addicts, and have your photograph on one page, and your story on the other. And some, a lot of people have done a lot of talk. It might be more than one page, as I thought of just having one page, but feel free to talk about whatever you want, as long as you want to. And what you think is important about your life, what happened, your spiritual path today, let people know there's hope, the pain and the joy and the profound things that occurred in your life, and just let it rip.
Well,
speak up a little.
Like I said, my name is Dennis, and I'm a grateful recovering addict. And I come from California. I'm born in Susanville, California. I come from a very dysfunctional family. I mean, my father and mother and father used to always beat me up all the time. My mother and father were alcoholics too. And it was somewhere between, I believe I was born in an addict. I really did. It was just a matter of time before I flipped into the alcohol and addict area. But anyway, it's like, when I was out there, well, I didn't start getting into, I drank my first drug at 6 years old. I remember that because my mother and father used to always come home drunk all the time. There was always a party for the weekend, and I remember I worked out one morning and I said, I'm going to drink too. And it wasn't a premeditated, I guess it was kind of premeditated. It had been premeditated. I thought about it, and all of a sudden when I acted on it, I jumped on it like sink on shit. I woke up one morning and I said, I'm going to get drunk too, just like my mom and dad. And I started drinking. And I'll never forget that burning sensation of alcohol that went down my stomach. And it just felt really good. I felt like King Kong. I felt invulnerable. I felt like I could rip off the world's head. And that was my first shot with alcohol. Then all of a sudden, while I was going through school, I just always come home and fight. I was always getting Hellraiser on my phone. I was Hellraiser at heart. And all of a sudden, I started getting kicked out of school for fighting. I started, I was very revolt disorder, which you might call it. And I was also antisocial. I didn't want to do it off the other one. I didn't want to be part of anybody. I just want to do that alone. And it was, I think it was between 6 and 13 when I started really getting, really drinking a lot. And I used to always go to parties, and I used to always go everywhere I went. I always had to be drunk. And I used to like to be drunk and be somebody. And it wasn't until about when I hit 13 when I started slamming heroin. That was my first major drug I've shot in my whole life. First one I took for a ride. You know, the cheap thrills of it all. It's like the cheap thrills. It's like fun. It was fun when it started out. Now I ended up in the horrors of addiction. It took me out, in and out of reform school, in and out of jails, institutions, and death. I died a couple times too because of these addictions. It wasn't until, when I was in reform school, I remember that too. I used to always get high up there. I was a connoisseur of all drugs. I thought I knew it all. I thought I was hot shit. I used to always be one to be the center of attention. When I was selling drugs, it was like I wanted to be noticed as being somebody. And when I didn't have the drugs, I wasn't nobody. And that kind of conflicted with me. So I was always wanting to be somebody. But it wasn't until almost 3 years later, I was a hope to die junkie. I was a garbage can junkie. I was a gutter height all my life. I've been a gutter height. And it took what it took to get me here. It's going to take what it took to keep me here. And I've been in and out of the program for almost 19 years. I've been in and out like swinging doors. I don't know if you get the first treatment center I went to. It was Delancey Street. That was a fucking demoralizing place. I didn't want to be there. And I did it for all the wrong reasons. I did it for my mom and dad. I did it for parole and probation department. And my brothers and sisters, my old ladies, my girlfriends. And I didn't do it for myself. And that's what makes me feel really grateful that I did this thing for myself. Because when you do it for yourself, it feels so much, a whole lot better. But it wasn't until... like I said, I went to my first treatment center, and they shaved off my head and tried to talk bad about me, and I said, fuck this shit, I can't take my shit. So I went through life. About saving the kids, you know, I've always trying to seek help. I was doing it for the wrong reason. This time I'm doing it for the right reason. But when I was in the penitentiary, it was like, fuck, I got 20 years for sales of heroin. They just nailed me to the cross. They just nailed me to the cross. And it wasn't until almost when I got out of prison, it was like, even when I was in prison, it was like, you see a lot of weird shit going on. You see a lot of race riots, you see a lot of fights, you see a lot of, suicides, you see a lot of fucking fighting, you see a lot of all this other shit going down. And it's like, it really hurt me to see all my friends, dying. There was about 35 friends when I was in. Died behind this disease of addiction. Because race riots and fights and knives and stuck in the back of the neck and throat. And it wasn't until I got out of prison that the drug wars between me and my disease of addiction really took place. The last 10 years I was out there was using, I wasn't getting well. That's all I was doing was getting well. I wasn't getting high, I was getting well. I was just living from drug to drug, I lived to use and used to live, like it says in our literature. And when I finally came to this program here this last time, I knew I needed help big time because I was dying on the inside and dying on the outside and dying on the streets. And it was fucked up. It really was. It was a nightmare out there. Because like I said when I first started, it was like the cheap thrills of it all, and all of a sudden, get from the cheap thrills, all of a sudden you get the... I can't really say that all my bad times out there have been bad times because there was a lot of good times I had there too. But towards the end of it, it just got really to the hordes of addiction. It turned into a living fucking nightmare out there. It really did. And it wasn't until I just hit my bottom 3.5 years ago. And it was, like I said, it took what it took to get me there. It's going to take what it takes to keep me there. But when I turned myself in this last treatment, I did it for myself because I needed help big time. Like I said, I was dying. I was being dead. I was on a $450 a day habit of heroin, and I was just down to spiritually, emotionally, physically, bankrupt in all areas, and financially too. And it's really weird. It's got my bad memory. But anyway, it's hard. I hit my bottom. I hit my bottom so hard I went through my bottom. And by that I meant I just was entertaining thoughts of suicide. I didn't know if I wanted to live. I didn't know if I wanted to die. I was just miserable with myself. And when I turned myself into treatment, I was down to 145 pounds, skin and bone. I was like death warmed over, like a walking, talking skeleton. And then I turned myself into treatment, and I just felt. Really, I felt I had been rescued, not arrested. And the first year of my recovery, I went to, I know for a fact, I went for the first 90 days, I went to 250 meetings, the 98, and the first year I went to 850 meetings. Then I got a sponsor about 10 months into the program. But like I said, it wasn't easy because I almost wanted to jump ship the first year I was here because of the fact that, you know, it's like all the trials and tribulations I've gone through, and it's like I had to find my happy medium, and I came into the program by blind faith. I didn't know if I was coming or going. I really didn't. And all of a sudden, when I got my sponsor, it was like everything just fell into place. And he told me to work steps and just go to as many meetings I can and start. And he says you can borrow my God. But he says, after I borrow, if you borrow my God, you got to get your own God. So I borrowed his God for about, you know, the first year and a half I was there. Then all of a sudden I got in service, and that's what helped me stay clean more than anything in the whole world. I got in service and I stayed clean. I made a commitment to myself and to the program to get serviced. And, you know, you only get out of recovery what you put into it. And I ain't quitting for the miracle works in my life. Fuck that shit. I'm sticking around for the miracle work in my life. Because every day you stay clean is a celebration. It really is. But anyway, it's like the first year I went... Oh, emotional roller coaster, ups and downs, up and down. I didn't know if I was coming or going, like I said, and mood swings left and right. Mood elevators get stuck on the bottom more than was up top. And then towards the second year, it was like it started evening out. I noticed that it started evening out. And all of a sudden, the third year, God, it's been really good for me. It's like, you know, spiritual, just, you know, spiritual. That I finally got in touch with my God as I understand Him. It's like when I prayed to my God in the morning time, I got scabs on my knees from praying so much. And I got calluses on my knees from praying to my God so much. And, how you doing? And, that's why I really need to get in touch with myself and find out who I really am without no chemicals of any kind. And then I'll sponsor about 9 guys in the fellowship so far, and they keep me clean. Because every time one of them used, I stay clean and focus with them. They use for me. And there hasn't been no bed of roses. Every day, stay clean is not going to be a peachy, creamy, hunky dory day, but some days better than other days. And I'm just, like I said, I'm sticking out from the miracle.